And so first and foremost, today is Veterans Day, and I'm not sure if you are a veteran or you've had somebody in your life, in your family that has served, but I haven't served, but my little brother did. And I always say little brother, he's a big boy. I'm actually wearing his boots that he wore to Desert Storm. And I'll be actually wearing them tomorrow. I want to invite you at 11 o'clock. We're going to have a Veterans Day memorial service. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's remembering that people gave of their lives. Some gave everything, but all gave something. And it's really, really significant. I want to say thank you to the veterans that served. And I want to ask you that if you're a veteran or you have a family member who is a veteran who served in the armed services of America, you have blessed America and you've been used by God to bless the world. Would you please stand so we can give you honor and say thank you? Anybody repping this family? Anybody? Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. And I always think about this, that it was a promise that my little brother made, and he wanted to go into the Marines to try to get some stuff together in his life, but he had to make an oath, and that's a promise, and we're going to talk about promise today. So I just looked this up online. This is really for all the armed services. This is an oath that you or your family member had made. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear truth and allegiance to the same, that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me according to the regulations and uniform code of military justice. And then these last four words, so help me God. Wait, that's, yeah. So help me God. Good, I count. Some things never change. Even if I went to Haiti, math is still difficult. All right. So help me God. What a significant phrase. I have a friend who served and saw a whole lot of really, really bad stuff. And he is really not a big fan of the government any longer. Actually on a watch list for our government because of some decisions that he's made. But he gave. And he actually gave this promise that I just read, and he gave a ton of his life. I have a lot of people in my life, and there's people in this church that gave and served, and there was a lot of sacrifice involved, and they would do it all over again. Thank you so much for giving me a picture of what Jesus actually did. He gave so much of himself. So we're in Psalms, and we're nearing the end. And we said in the very beginning of it that it's a growth book. It's about growing. And last week, if you didn't get a chance to hear Pastor Josh's message on lament, I ask you to go back and look at it. Go back and listen to it, I should say. It was significant. Psalm 22, it was so good. And I listened to it on Wednesday a little bit when I was on the plane. And then Thursday, I got a chance to listen to the rest of it. It was so good that I had to change my message for today. And it was so profound. What's funny is that I switched into Psalm 91, not realizing that that's what our women actually went through all day yesterday. So you don't get to check out if you were here. And you can judge me according to what Erica did, but I heard it was amazing. And so just remember, she is a different person than me, and she had all day. And so I want to ask you guys, and we're going to start with this. If we grow, and we grow because we're not God, and we get to become more like him, and he gives us himself, and then we have problems, and we can lament those, and we have to be real. And as Pastor Josh said, we have pain that we ought not to say doesn't exist. We ought not to pretend, well, I'm a Christian, so I don't really have pain. No, no, no. As a matter of fact, identify it and be real in it and know that God's actually with you in it, even if he doesn't take it away from you. He gave great, great teaching. And at the end of it, he was especially talking to us parents who have teenagers. Don't try to explain away your kid's pain. Sit with them in it. Let them talk about it. Let them be real with it. And love them in it. And do that with adults too. But it led me to a whole lot of questions and a whole lot of encouragement. And I just want to land on this, maybe, if it'll work. Tom, let me see if I can do it. Nope, I can't. Can you give me? Thanks, Pete. What's a promise? What do you guys understand a promise to be? Something you say you're going to do. Excellent. What did somebody else say?
Recommend it.
Recommend it? Oh, I thought you said, I recommend it. It wasn't really a message for you. Maybe just a little. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, a commitment. Absolutely. Is it a commitment to not do something as well? I mean, can you make a promise for that? Sounds so negative, but we have to do that sometimes, right? What else? Your bond. Good.
Your word.
It's also been talked about as potential, right? Like, boy, that message had a lot of promise until Aaron got up, right? I mean, whatever. But I mean, we have this idea, and I looked at it like it's similar to a value, it says in Webster, that's to be realized in the near future. Promise is a commitment, a bond, a word. Be a contract for sure. We just looked at the covenant of the blood that we are invited to partake, as Brandon said, is such a great invitation. It's a commitment. It's a promise. But I want to ask you, in our society, in our world, in Jesus, it's not working. What good is a promise? What good is it?
Only as good as the person that makes it.
Come on. That's exactly right, Shane. It's only as good as the person that makes it. If it's your bond and you're used to breaking your bond, what good's the promise? Well, I really mean it this time. We'll even go so far as to repeat something, right? I mean it. Are you guys dating? Well, we're not dating. Promise. What good is it? This is good as the believability or the track record or the bond of the one making it. I want to tell you this morning that his promise, the Lord Jesus Christ, changes everything. Everything. It changes it all. What does his promise change? Help me. I mean, we just talked about lament last week. We can start there if we'd like. But how does his promise change everything for us?
Brings hope.
Good.
There's no condemnation ever.
That's a great promise from him. The only one who can truly condemn anybody. It's security. Good. Does that actually change your circumstance to have security? Huh? For some of us say yeah, some of us say no. I think that's important. That's a good conversation to have. So on the nay, how does it not change your circumstance? You got security, but you're still in your stuff. Didn't Josh talk about that last week? Isn't that real for you? I mean, I know that I'm able to partake. I'm able to be a part of this great fellowship that I can, like Psalm 23 says, have a table set for me in the presence of my enemies. I can have peace. I can have security, but I'm still in the presence of my enemies. There's still some tough stuff going on. Yeah. Amen. Tina says that security allows you to have faith to take action, that whatever is going on is going to get better. We just know that that's true. It's going to get better, right? Eventually, somehow, perhaps. I mean, do we click our heels 3 times and hope that we're going to come home? If the promise maker is to be trusted, then he makes a promise and it changes everything. Changes current events. It redeems past events. and it promises for good all the days of our lives. Have you experienced that? Have you had good every day of your life? I don't know about you, but I feel it sometimes that it's not been the best. And yet God has been. I'm going to be all right. I don't feel it right now. I mean, technically, I feel it right now. I'm feeling really good. I'm cold. But besides that, I'm good. But I mean, there's days in my life where it doesn't feel so great. Would you guys go with me to a psalm that's been near and dear to my heart since it was first misquoted to me many, many years ago? It's Psalm 91 on page 497. If you have one of these black Bibles, please remember they're for you. We bought them. We bought them to absolutely be used on Sundays, but also to be used on Mondays and Tuesdays, Wednesdays, you know, all the way along. Every day that ends in Y, you can use this. And we want you to know it. When my brother was in, where was he going? He's liberating Kuwait, so he's in Saudi Arabia. I heard a guy say, "This is God's 911. He went, "Psalm 91. This is good. And I think that'll preach actually a little bit, but this is all promise, and it's from Moses. If you remember, Moses wrote a few of the Psalms. David wrote most of them, and there's still even more that were anonymous. Asaph did some. I was going to do Psalm 73, which is really similar in its structure to the lament, and then you land on how good God is, and most of the laments of the Bible are that way. Josh talked about that again. But I really, really found myself after listening to his message and thinking, man, I don't want to give everybody the same exact message, which is what I would have tried to do because I would have just been quoting him because it was so good. I would go so far as to say it was rad because that's how I talk. And people are like, dude, it's 2018. I know. But I was born in 1970, so I could say rad because I did all the way through high school. All right. So this is promise, and you're going to see, I have a slide that talks about the I will, and the he is all caps. So you're going to look at commitment. You're going to look at oath even a little bit, but you're going to look at promise. And we're looking to see how powerful and how strong the promise of God is. And I think Moses could talk about that, right? He could write about that. He had a whole lot of God coming through for him in just miraculous ways and subtle ways and ways that he hadn't even seen. He was a complainer to God at times, but he really was more faithful than most of the people around him. And he went before God on a group of big-time complainers, and he relied on the promise of God. And he saw that his promises changed everything. So let's start with this. And again, I don't want to so much make apologies to the women because this is good and it's God's word and it's repeatable. But you guys got some rad teaching yesterday. Just hang in there with whatever this is going to be. He or she who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. There was a time when Zach was really, really little. And I saw him and he was walking next to me kind of over here and he was staying in my shadow. And now he is a boy, and not just boys do this, but this boy did this a lot. He was trying to kill my shadow. Right? He's just like, I'm like, what are you doing?
I'm crushing you.
Right? But he was in my presence. And he was in my shadow. Do you see how beautiful this is? Man, hang with God. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. You're going to be with him. It's you hang in there with him. You live with him. You abide, right? And then I'll say to the Lord, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I got nowhere else to go. Do you remember Peter, right? Peter has this moment with Jesus after Jesus says, hey, everybody, eat my flesh, drink my blood. And they're like, you know, just on general principle alone, that's weird. And tons of people leave, and he's not saying, yo, check it out. I need you guys to be cannibals if you're going to be my people. He's like, take me in. I'm your sustenance. But tons of people left, and Jesus looks up, and the 12 are just there, and I don't know if they're doing like, right? I don't know what happened with them. But he says, what about you guys? Are you going to leave too? You know what Peter said? Where else are we going to go? You have the words of life. We're going to hang with you. In you we trust. So friends, just really quick, who do you trust? What do you trust? What's your go-to move? We've asked you this over and over again. In the course of me getting a chance to teach, I ask this question a lot of people. So what will you do with regards to trusting him and finding him as your shelter? How are you going to go about that? And then even deeper than that, because he's trustworthy, his promise is perfect, he will take care of you. Look for that through the rest of what we're looking at. Again, back to Psalm 91. We'll go 3 and 4. And then stop for a second after that. So again, in 2, I'll say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, you're where I have life. You're where I have protection. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you'll find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. I mean, it's just, he's the protection for you. You go out from underneath him, and you're gonna get some trouble. I mean, it was promised, and even Brandon talked about, look, where if it was good for the goose, right? You know how it goes? It's good for the gander, and people are like, what? We're not an agricultural country, bro. Say it in a way I'll understand it. If it's good for mama, it's good for the kids. If it's good for the father, then the kids could benefit from it too. If it's good for Jesus, then it's good for us. Struggle's gonna happen. Suffering's gonna happen, but he is our shield. He's our buckler. He's the one that protects us. He is. He's really good at it. Have you ever watched people when it rains? It's almost like in this little hamlet of the world that they haven't seen rain before. And we have so much of it. I was sitting outside, like in a car, but I was sitting outside Staples, and I was waiting for my granddaughter to come out. Her daddy was bringing her. And I watched people run from their cars into Staples. So there's these things called umbrellas. But if you're a PNW like most of us, who needs an umbrella? These fools, right? That's how I've been. I'm mostly like that because I hate getting my glasses wet. That's just a bummer. Now some of you are gonna go on my glasses and that'll drive me nuts. But Shane, don't even, all right? I'm going to stay over here. But the reality is, when it's raining and you're not covered, wait for it, you're going to get wet. That's how that happens. You go out from underneath his protection. You go out from underneath his direction. You go out from underneath his refuge. You're going to get wet. Shoot, you stay there and things are going to happen to you. But the promise is that I'm not going to try to make any kind of like hedge and, well, what he really means is, no, these promises we're about to just settle on are from God for us, for his glory and for our benefit. I will trust, he will do this. He will no matter what. So 3 and 4 talks about this idea that he's going to protect you from problems, and just like a mama hen, going to hold you in underneath his wing. Verses 5 through 8 really reminded me of Psalm 23. It was rad that we sang that song. But Psalm 23:5, again, I've quoted it a bunch, but it just keeps resonating with me. He's going to set a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Our greatest enemy is sin and death. So it's two enemies, and they're significant. Anybody got any good news for me on those enemies? They're defeated. They're done. So Jesus really does set a table for us in the presence of our enemies. He, the great shepherd, was also the sacrificial lamb. All right, so check it out. Psalm 91, 5 through 8. You'll not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right side, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. In the refuge of the Most High God, you will see people getting what they deserve. And because of his grace and his mercy, in him, you won't get what you deserve. You'll get what he gives, what he calls you to partake in, this peace, this wonderful peace. So this peace, this wonderful peace, this Savior, look in 9 and 10. Because you've made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. So I just want to ask really quick, how do you make the Lord your dwelling place? Ladies, if this was already talked about ad infinitum, then you should be ready to answer this. But let me ask you, man, woman, child, how do you make the Lord your dwelling place?
You go to him for everything.
Come on now. Good, Carol. That almost sounds too simple, doesn't it? You go to him for everything. Sweet. Any like addition to that? Any, I don't want to say recipe or prescription, but how do we go to him for any and everything? Yeah. Practice. Very good. Amen. Prayer and the word. Excellent. Yeah. She stole your stuff. That's all right. I told them and then they just started wrong. Prayer and the word. What was the other one?
Fellowship.
Fellowship. Good. Hey, can we start with something real simple? And you hear me talk about it all the time. Confession. We got to start there, right? We got to confess. We can start with something real simple like, I didn't make oxygen. You did. You're God and I'm not. And I've been doing a lousy job of trying to be. We can confess that we hang on to worry and fear. And again, this isn't like in opposition to Josh's message. This is actually the continuance of growth. We recognize that we've been hurt. And we need refuge. And we need help. That's a confession. But there's also a part of repentance, like I've got to turn back to you over and over and over again. Now, we get tired of people doing that. Do you think God's like, eh, you had your first 58 tries, sorry. No moss, I'm done. Uh-uh. How do you make him your dwelling place? First of all, he is the only true dwelling place. There is no condemnation, like Leslie said, in Christ Jesus. So we identify him. We recognize him as God in our place. We repent. We love. We praise. We worship. We obey him. You stay under the umbrella. You stay under the wing. You recognize that he's the only hope, no matter how difficult things are. Let's finish here. So no evil's going to befall you. No plague come near your tent. Verse 11. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You tread on the lion and the adder, which is a nasty snake. I think all snakes are nasty. No offense to you that love those. The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Does this sound familiar to anybody? I mean, again, ladies, you just heard about this, but maybe somebody who hasn't been dwelling in Psalm 91. Does this sound familiar, this whole, he'll command his angels concerning you and all that? Who used that? Yeah, Matthew 4. Do you know who actually used that passage and misused it and misapplied it?
Satan.
Good job. Imagine if I get sleep. Okay. Look, this is personified in Jesus. Jesus said, yeah, but you know what? I'm not putting my Father to the test. That's wrong. Who's the one that trampled on the snake? Jesus. The snake, the serpent, the enemy. Remember in Genesis 3, what was the enemy going to do? What was the snake going to do?
Get his heel.
Yeah, he's going to get his heel. That sucks, right? To get bit by anything. But to get bit by a snake, that's bad. But it's in the heel. If you're going to get bit, that's the best place for that to happen. Takes a long time for whatever poison to get up to the heart. But that ended up looking like a kill shot to Jesus. But you know what the rest of Genesis 3 says? He will do what to the snake's head? He's going to crush it. That's a kill shot. What looked like death, what looked like it was over, and indeed it was death, but it wasn't over. Jesus crushed sin and death. That's our story in Jesus. This way, these promises actually count for us. Yeah, I have pain and I have agony. That's not all we have. That's not all there is. And so we'll finish. Psalm 91, 14 through 16. As you're able and as you're awake, would you please stand with me? Pete, will you go back to that for a second where it just says Jesus? Check that out. And fix your eyes on him. He's so rad. He is the hope. He is the reason why we have refuge. He's the reason why we have victory. He's the reason why these promises are true. So it says in 2 Corinthians 1, all of the promises have their yes in Jesus. All of the promises of God. So look at him right here. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. This is God talking. You hang on with him, he'll deliver you. I will protect him, God says, because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. Come on, church, just for a second, he'll honor us? Wow. I get that lament happens. I get that pain happens. I've experienced it a bunch. Experienced it when I got home. You know what else I experienced? I experienced a couple standing right there on Friday, renewing their vows after a really, really rough stretch. Like so rough that it was over, and then God said, no, it's not. I got you. They stood right here. And they renewed their vows. They gave each other rings, simple rings, gold bands. Renewing their vows because the one who first set them free continues to set them free. Amen. Hallelujah. This is good truth. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Whose salvation is God going to show? Yeah, he's going to save you, but he is the one. A little boy, Nehemiah. He was 6 just a few days ago. And right before he turned 7, they're downstairs, and Cherie Bazell says, hey, write down what Jesus is worthy of. And homie wrote down, he is worthy of us. Now, as a little boy, I don't think he's like, aren't you lucky, Jesus? You got me. Poor dude, pray for him. He's got my forehead and he's 7. He's got this cow lick. Oh, anyways. But what he meant is he's worthy of everything that I have. Everything that I am. It's his salvation. Look, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. We may stop breathing, but our life keeps going in Jesus. These promises are good. Rely on them. Rely on him. Stay in him. He's your refuge. He's your hope. What do you need to do? Do you need to repent? Do you need to confess? Do you need to adore? Do you need to worship and praise? Man, come next week and get your praise on, because that's what we're going to do next week. So there's growth, right? We go from pain, agony, discomfort, and all that kind of stuff, and we can actually live there for a while, and we get into his promises, and we realize, well, he just never leaves us hanging, and then it ends in, and will forever be praise. So next week, we end the Psalm series on praise. Get started early. Get practicing, and then Sunday, we're just going to get our praise on. Lord God, I thank you for being both Lord and God. I thank you for being Abba, which is Daddy and Father, and I thank you that in you, we have all that we could hope for or imagine. God, as we get ready to go into Thanksgiving, and we have the opportunity to be generous in our community, and as we think about those who have given of their lives and have paid a huge price on this Veterans Day, may we remember that as amazing as generosity is, it gets started in you. As amazing as sacrifice is, it was most modeled by you. May we remember that we get to be in your shadow. We get to be in you as a refuge. And even as it says in Psalm 18, you are our stronghold. God, no matter what could come against us is nothing compared to what's for us, and that's you. Love in Psalm 73, Lord, that it shows us, whom have I in heaven but you, and who else do I need? God, may we take you at your word and watch you do amazing things, not just comfort zone and climate control, but more than that, that we got a table set for us in the presence of our enemies because our God is awesome and always will be. Thank you that we get to have long life with you, so long that it's forever. And God, I pray for my friends who stand here this morning and are not too sure or haven't come to you or haven't submitted to you. May today be their day. May they not fight you any longer. And for those who are in you and are struggling, may they remember that you are the lifter of their head, as it says in Psalm 121, our help isn't the hills, it's the one who made them. And God, may we remember that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.